and we're going to break the speed limit and go into chapter 7. And we're going to run that stop sign and continue all the way through to Luke chapter 7, verse 10. And I've said all that to say that I've been preaching a little differently lately, and God has been giving me messages that have a step stage to them. Some people say they're three-point messages, one-point messages, whatever you want to call it. But it's a level of things. And I'm trying to find you where you're at. I'm trying to find out where you're at spiritually. I'm trying to find out where you're at. And let you, by preaching a certain way, by giving us a fuller perspective of where we can be, help to identify where you are and where you might want to go. And bring the message to a place where you can see starting the finishing point and everything in between, and trying not to make it too complicated or too long. And so I will preach as quickly and as succinctly as possible this morning. And I promise not to use that word anymore. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For a good tree... And I am reading out of the King James Version of the Bible. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks.
That's right.
That is the first level of experience with God that I want to preach about. Verse 46, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock.
Praise the Lord.
But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. This is the second aspect of our experience with God that I want to talk to you about. And then if you would with me go through the stop sign, the intersection, to chapter 7, verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say the word, and my servant shall be healed.
Hallelujah.
For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I want to talk to you this morning. I have several different sermon titles, and you can just pick whichever one you like the most. The first one is Living Out the Gospel.
Praise the Lord.
The other one, not giving you time to write, is What Did You Expect? And the last one, again, not giving you time to keep up, Praying, Practicing, Expecting.
Hallelujah.
Let's bow our heads together for a moment before we begin. Jesus, we're so thankful for the impetus. We're thankful, God, for the strength and the power and the excitement that we feel here this morning. We're excited about worship. We're excited about your word. We're excited about what you're doing in our lives and the things that are happening and the things to come. And God, we're thankful for the things that have gone before. But right now we ask you, oh God, to move in this house through the word and find each of us where we are and speak to us and challenge us and encourage us to go to the next level in our relationship with you and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. If you want to go to the next level with the Lord, would you say amen?
Amen.
The rest of you are happy to be where you are. Praying, practicing, expecting.
Yeah.
It says in the book of James chapter 5 and verse 16 in the New Living Translation that if we will confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we may be healed, the earnest prayer, it is said by James, of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results.
Yes, hallelujah.
I'm here to tell you something this morning. Prayer works.
Yes, it does. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Prayer works. I'm reminded several years ago of a testimony of a young woman, newly converted to the faith of Christianity. And she was concerned about getting rid of the old lifestyle. And they had seen, and I'm just recounting the story to you, they had seen demons that were located in the vicinity of their music collection. And realized that certain tapes were inhabited by spirits, demons, and promptly took those tapes and threw them out of the house. And experienced a peace coming over their home. And talking to this young woman, she was concerned about her husband's television consumption via the cable TV and was praying and looking out the window. This couple lives by a grocery store, a lot of traffic going in and out, and was standing at the window praying, God, should we get rid of the cable TV or should we keep it? And as she pulled back the curtain and looked out the window praying about this issue in her life, her testimony that a semi-truck drove by to bring groceries to the store and ripped the cable line off of their house.
Wow.
I'm here to tell you, prayer works.
Amen.
Prayer is power.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I know that I was standing in the prayer closet a couple of years ago and struggling on a real estate project and not really getting in over my head, of course, and not really knowing how to handle things. And I prayed to God. I said, God, send me a carpenter that is affordable, that won't cost an arm and a leg, one that knows what they're doing. And within 24 hours, it might have actually been the same day, I was away doing something. There was other at-the-house project working, I believe. My father-in-law was there. But anyway, I got a call that said, there's a carpenter that's come in the house. And they said, are you looking for a carpenter? And I want to know if you are. And wanted to know when he could start it. And he was able to start on our project the next day, and it turned out to be a great friendship, and we're now in our third project together. Doesn't cost me an arm and a leg, knows what he's doing, and becoming a great friend. And I will tell you this today, prayer works.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Story before, but I'll tell it to you again today, because I want you to understand that I'm not just blowing hot air today, that I'm not just saying things to you that I do not believe and do not practice. Not only do I believe and preach that prayer works, I practice it nearly every single day. And when I'm not in the prayer closet praying, I'm walking down the street praying, I'm driving in the car praying, because I found that God listens to my prayers and He answers prayers in sometimes mysterious ways, in sometimes amazing and miraculous ways. I remember praying and asking God in between real estate projects, God, what is the next project? What is the next house? What is the next opportunity for me? And I prayed about it, and within 24 hours, it might have been the same day, the telephone rang, And it was a friend of mine who's into real estate and said, I have a house that somebody's trying to sell me. And I thought, I've got too many things going on, too many projects right now. But I thought you might be interested. Hallelujah. Sister Kay, you know what I did? I pumped out my chest and pulled my shoulders back. And I said, I'm going to get ready because God has given me a project.
Yes, amen.
Let me tell you, it was a project. And we had our hands full and it cost a lot of money. And it took a lot of time. When I got done, I said to myself, I'm going to rent this house out. And I want somebody to rent this house out that's not going to disparage, that's not going to take advantage of me, somebody that's not going to abuse. I have put my blood, sweat, and tears in this thing. And I want somebody to come in here, appreciate it, and take care of it. And so you know what I did, don't you? I put an ad in the paper. No, baby, I didn't put no ad in the paper. I put the word down the street. No, I didn't put no word down the street. I went to the prayer closet and I said, God, send me somebody to rent my apartment. Hallelujah. And it wasn't very long, just a few short moments. And I don't know what the time frame was, but it was certainly within the week or less. And I got a text from my friend Wilson. He said, hey, let's get together. Let's eat some lunch. Let's go to La Fuente. That's now my favorite restaurant in town. And we sit down and we eat. And I'm sitting there. We're eating. And we're talking. And he starts telling me the story about how that he needs to find a place to rent. And I'm just sitting there going, prayer works, baby.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Prayer works. Amen. I remember when Brother Clemens and I, it might have been last year, we were up in the hospital, the second floor, and we were in the bed, we were in the hospital room with Dee, and she was not doing well, and I have seen the look on her body and on her face before, and she was unresponsive, head to the side, her mouth hanging open, and she had, in my opinion, what they call the death rattle, and I thought to myself, well, this is the final curtain call for her life, and I've seen this before, and it always results in death. And I was sitting there and we were chit-chatting and I said, Brother Clemens, I said, what do you want to happen in this situation? I don't remember the exact words that he used, but I asked him what he wanted. He said, I would like for her to come back to life so that there could be some more time for the family to visit and connect. And I said, okay, brother, let's pray that God will do that. And we laid hands on her together. We prayed in Jesus' name that God would bring her back. I never thought anymore about it. I went on about my damn business, but I found out a text from somebody, Sister Clement, or somebody, that she had woke up, that she was eating applesauce, and she lived for several more days. I don't know how much longer she lived, but she lived long enough to visit more with the family, was able to communicate with the family. I'm here to tell you, folks, prayer works.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Bible says in James chapter 5, and we read to you verse 16, but do you remember what it says in verse 17? It says Elijah was a man, and he was subject to like passions as we are, that he went through the same type of struggles and things that we do. He was just a regular guy, but he prayed that it would not rain for the space of 3 years. And the Bible says it did not rain one single drop. There wasn't even any dew on the grass and on the leaves in the morning time. And the Bible says that he prayed again that it would rain, and it came a flood. I'm here to tell you, prayer works today.
Amen.
And prayer shakes heaven. Prayer gets the attention of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God hears the cries of his people.
Amen.
There are two types of prayer in James chapter 5, verse 16. And I really am trying to be honest with you. I am trying to hustle. I have a 2-hour message that needs to be condensed into about 25 minutes. And I normally preach 50 minutes. And so we're in a little bit of a dilemma today. So if you will, just write as fast as you can and just stay with me today. Prayer works.
Yes, right back.
Brother
Morris.
Brother. Yeah, coming from what you said, you know, yeah, prayer works. Last week I was praying to someone who said, you know, Lord, I want to hear good news about what's going through with my lawyer and all that. And the next day he called me and he's like, you know what, I got your good news. You went to St. Louis. And I texted that. He got my message, and then the same day, one of his assistants called me, hey, I got you good news too. You're going to be going soon to have your appointment, and everything is okay. Don't worry about it. So it works. Praise works.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I mean, I mean, it's you, but these are difficult political times. These are not easy times for immigrants in the United States, especially illegal immigrants. Not everybody's getting their papers looked at. Not everybody's getting attention. But I'm here to tell you, in the middle of a government shutdown, in the middle of when people are crying to run illegal immigrants out of the country, a man can lift up his voice in prayer to God. Just get on. But I'm here to tell you something. The next part of our lesson that we're studying on this morning is the practicing part. Praying sometimes is not enough. I can pray at an altar and I can cry out to God for forgiveness of my sins. Amen. But when I get up from that altar, I've got to put what God has gifted and blessed me with into practice. I can't go back and continue to do the same things. The apostle said, should we continue in sin that the grace of God may abound? He said, God forbid. We got to put sometimes what we had prayed about into practice. I'm here to tell you, Brother Wilson, don't just go willy-nilly into the prayer closet. He didn't just go in there and say, God, amen, I'm taking a break from watching the YouTube. I'm taking a break from serving on Facebook. I just got back from collecting my food stamps and my unemployment. And God, I wish you'd just move and do me a favor here. That's not the way it works, folks. He's been working 60, 70 hours a week. He's been saving money. He's been paying his attorney. He's been making phone calls and having letters written. He's been putting his faith into action. Amen. Sometimes prayer is not going to be all that God requires of us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Sometimes prayer alone would change everything.
Yes.
Change us. Jesus said prayer alone can move mountains.
Yes.
And don't ever think that I'm belittling that. And I'm talking to you about this today because I wonder where some of us are at. I wonder where some of us are at when we have an ache or a pain. And let me tell you something. If you have an ache or a pain and you have heard and you know that it is a detrimental thing to your body, I'm not telling you that you should. We were sitting and talking to a preacher friend of ours at conference this week in St. Louis. And he said that he was having that his face, that he was in the hospital for tests and he was having a horrible headache and his face was drooping down and they were thinking that he was having a stroke and they did all these tests on him, come to find out he was just having what they call a cluster headache and he didn't have, and they said your heart and your arteries and everything are in perfect condition. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be careful. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be cautious. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take advantage, amen, of the medical system and all the advancements that are at our disposal. But I'm saying that we need to remember, amen, to lift up our knees before God in prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in all things, with all prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There comes a point.
Thank you, Jesus.
Prayers must go from spiritual thoughts and words to spiritual actions and practices.
Right. Thank you.
Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak.
Yes.
When you speak, you better be speaking from a heart that has been filled with prayer and overflowing with the presence of God. When you speak, you better be speaking. And you don't want to be like the Old Testament priest that an angel appeared to him. I can't remember if it was Zacharias, or whatever his name was. Elizabeth was his wife. And so he was to become the father of John the Baptist. And the angel spoke to him and said, your wife, who is beyond age-bearing years, is going to bring a son, much like Sarah did, into the world in her old age. And he asked God, how is this possible? And the angel looked at him and said, because you did not believe, I am going to take speech from your mouth until your son is born. You better be careful, like Brother Pappas said, when you come into the presence of God, because we're not playing with games. You don't play with fire. You don't play with electricity. You come to him with respect. You make sure the breakers are all turned the way they're supposed to be. You don't wrap hot wires on each side and think nothing's going to happen, because prayer works. I don't want to work in the opposite direction. direction on me, but I want to work it in the right direction. Amen. And the Bible says that he was deaf, was able to speak one word. And when his son was born and came time for him to be circumcised, they took him into the temple. And then they began to say, what's the boy's name going to be? And his wife said, his name is going to be John. And all the family said, nobody in the family's got the name John. You can't give him that name. Now, where's that name come? Let's ask his father. And he asked for something to write on. And the Bible says he wrote on there, his name is John.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible says that when they read that and they spoke it out, the Bible says that God opened, amen, the priest's mouth. And when he opened his mouth, he didn't say, God, how is this going to happen? God, I can't believe you did this. When he opened his mouth, he said, I give praise to the Most High God. Says in James, amen, you're going to have to forgive me today. We're not going to be able to finish this message. The Bible says in James, amen, that you need to be careful what you pray for. Because he said, you pray and you ask and you do not receive because you are asking to receive it and keep it upon your own lusts. Don't come into the prayer closet with a laundry list. Don't come into the prayer closet with a bunch of wants and desires and things that will please you and make you happy. You come into the prayer closet and you say, God, thy will be done.
Yes.
Thy
Hallelujah.
Kingdom
Hallelujah.
Come. James chapter 5, there are two types of prayer. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. How many of you know what that word pray right there means? Sister Mason, though, stand up and tell everybody what that word pray means right there. Just jump up and say it. You don't have to think about it. Do it. Thank you. That first word, prayer, in James 5:16 is an exchanging of wishes, as Christ exchanged his wishes with the will of the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thy will be done. Confession of sins comes with a changing of our will. Confession of sins and praying for each other to be healed from the mistakes and the twisted mindsets and the ungodly and worldly ideologies that we have treasured up in our hearts, and getting rid of all of that garbage and saying, God, I want to start over. Tell me what I need to do.
Yes. Jesus.
And then there is a second word for prayer. It says the earnest prayer of a righteous person is great power and produces wonderful results. An earnest prayer, that is a different word for prayer. A totally different word. And it, in the second sense, means that we're bringing those urgent needs, desperately seeking God to intervene. These two words are not opposite of each other, but they work together when you have cleared with God your spirit and thoughts, and your will is open to His plans. And yet there are ways of burden on your heart. And yet there are ways of concern that you cannot erase or get rid of. The Bible says that when you begin to pray fervently, when you begin to pray earnestly and effectually, that prayer of a righteous person has great power. And God hears those urgent personal needs that we carry to Him in secret. And He rewards us.
Hallelujah.
While prayer alone can change our circumstances, and while prayer alone can move mountains and gain the attention of heaven,
hallelujah,
while prayer alone can strengthen and encourage, there always comes a point where prayers must go from spiritual thoughts and words to spiritual actions and practices. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak.
Yes.
But why do you call me Lord and do not do the things that I do? If I am your Lord, and Lord means the boss, the owner, you may argue with your co-workers. You may fight with your boss. But when the owner steps in, everybody humbles down real quick. because they can say or do anything that they so choose. We belong to Him. He is our Lord and our Savior. If that is the case, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, but you do not do the things that I ask you to do?" We must pray and we must practice.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I just don't see how I'm going to finish this message out today, folks. just keep trying, amen.
Yes, amen.
Woo!
Press on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We've got to put the things. We've got to live. You didn't know I was going to bring a sermon title back. We've got to live out the gospel.
That's right. Amen.
At home.
Hallelujah.
We've got to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Amen. Yes.
We've got to love our wives and our husbands as ourselves. We've got to love our children as ourselves. We've got to love our in-laws and our outlaws and our aunts and our unks as ourselves.
Right.
We've got to love the white sheep and the black sheep.
Amen.
Every one of them have to be loved and forgiven and treated with respect.
Right.
Why? Because I'm practicing what I had prayed. I'm practicing what I had preached. I'm practicing what came out of my mouth on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm putting it into practice at home. I'm putting it into practice on the job. I'm putting it into practice in my neighborhood. I'm putting it into practice at church. Some prayers don't get answered overnight. Daniel prayed in the Old Testament. The Bible says it fasted 21 days and never heard a word from God. Never got an answer from heaven. And you know what he did? He threw in the towel and he gave up and said, "Prayer don't work. God's not listening." Now sometimes we pray a prayer and we don't get no answer. It's not because God's not planning to answer. It's because he's waiting on us to put some things into practice. He's waiting on us to put some wheels into motion. Years ago, I sat back here, and I was engaged to be married, didn't have a penny, didn't have a job, didn't have a home, didn't have a future. And I got back in that prayer closet, "God, I need a job." And I prayed that probably on Saturday on the weekend, "God, I need a job." And we went after church Sunday night. We went to Pizza Hut, and we walked in there, and I don't remember if I put an application in there. The manager came to our table. "Are you the one that put an application in?" I could pray all day about God giving me a job, but if I hadn't put an application, and I would have never gotten that child. Sometimes God is waiting on us to step out of the boat. Sometimes God is waiting on us to make a move so that He can unleash the blessings in our lives. Amen. We can't hope to pray all day that God gives us a harvest and we've never even pulled the weeds yet. We can't pray all day that God would give us fruit in our lives and we haven't even broken up the fallow ground or sown any seed yet. God, how come nothing's happening for me? When was the last time you spent more than 5 minutes praying?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo! God, how come you're not doing anything for me? How come when I started, I remember Sister Cassandra was in my youth class years ago before I was a pastor, and the class would have questions for me about this, and class would have questions for me about that. And I mean, the Word of God just bubbles inside of me all the time. I can think of scriptures after scripture after scripture. And if I can't think of it, I've come to understand that it's probably not in there.
Right. Amen.
She said, "How do you do that?" People ask me questions about the Bible and I don't know what to say to them. I don't know how to respond to them. I get bum-fuzzled and flustered and I get all confused. And I said, "Cassandra, what are you reading?" Grace Livingston Hill, Danielle Steele, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I said, "There's your problem. You got to practice the Word. You got to read the Word. You got to get it inside of you. You got to spend some time in the Word." I said, "If you'll read that Word every day," I said, "something will transform inside of you." And before you realize it, and unbeknownst to you, you'll be in a conversation one day, and guess what will come bubbling out of you?
Yeah.
It was months later, and she came to me. She said, "You were right. I was witnessing, talking to somebody, and the Word just began to bubble out of me." We've got to practice, amen, what we say we believe. Sometimes the church theology and the church culture doesn't match. We say we believe in miracles, but never have them. We say we believe in healing, but we're never healed. We say we believe in the Holy Ghost and His gift being poured out today, but nobody ever gets the Holy Ghost. And we wonder what's going on because we've ceased to pray. Amen. We ceased. We lost touch. We stopped practicing. Amen. We stopped fasting. We stopped studying. We stopped witnessing. We stopped sowing the seed. And we wonder and expect to get something when we haven't done anything to get it.
That's right. Hallelujah.
We got to put what we say we believe into practice. Jesus said, if you do, you'll be building your house on a rock.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And no storm take your house. So you'll be sitting inside while the streams and the winds and the waves and the hail and the howling storm blows around you. You'll be sitting inside with your wool socks on and your slippers and reading your favorite book of the Bible while the fire crackles and some coffee or tea on the side next to you. Hallelujah. Your house will stand when you put into practice the things that God has told us. We just put into practice the things we say we believe. We can turn this town upside down.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So it's funny, isn't it? We can always tell the people what they need to do, but when it comes to us, what was that Brother Patrick said a minute ago? They got quiet ass. And when we practice what we preach,
right,
we need to be careful that our practices don't degenerate into mindless, powerless, hopeless, mantras, habits, traditions, and lose our perspective. Because God doesn't just ask us to pray in faith. He doesn't just ask us to live as living letters and ambassadors and practice our faith on a daily basis. But He says to us, if you will, then I will. If you will repent, I will forgive. If you will be baptized, I will wash the record of sins away. And I will trim the foreskin off of your heart and remove the filthiness thereof. I will give you the name of my Father. You will take on the family name. And if you will do these things, I will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That God is going to do something great. That God is going to shake the foundations. That God is going to open up the windows.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless
you. A centurion knew what was going on. The region of the Sea of Galilee where he was responsible for order. He knew this rabble rouser was coming, Jesus. But he was a godly man. He had been convinced of the veracity just by reading the history of the Jewish God and had some fear in his heart. And we don't know all of his circumstances, situation, but somehow he had seen, somehow he had heard something, somehow it had come back to him that this rabble-rouser Jesus was different than all the others. He was not out there taking up offerings. He was not out there training soldiers. But blind eyes had been opened, but cripples had been raised up and were running and leaping and dancing and giving praise to God. But all manner of sickness and illnesses were being healed, and that he was confronting those hypocrites that he had to deal with every day. Something was different about this man, and no doubt he had never even met him. By reputation alone, he sent his soldiers to Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the Jews said, this is a good centurion. He takes care of us. He doesn't take advantage of his position. And he respects our religion and our God. He is worthy of you to heal his precious servant that had served with him for so long of a period of time. And Jesus then turned himself to go to the centurion's house. And he said to himself, I will go and see this man. And the centurion, the Bible said, heard that Jesus was going to come. And he sent other servants and said, do not come to my house. The only reason I didn't come to talk to you is because you are a Jew. You are a great man. And I do not have any right to be in your presence because I am a Gentile. I understand the religious traditions of the Jews. Don't come to my house. I don't want you to defile yourself here. But I am a man of authority. And if I tell somebody to do something, they do it. If I tell them to go over there, they go. If I tell them to come and stand before me, they come. If I tell them to bring or do anything, they listen to every word that I say. And they carry it out at the cost of their lives. And I know that you are a man also of authority. And if you'll just say the word, if you'll just say the word, I know that my servant will be healed.
Yeah.
Said, I have not seen this great of faith in all Israel.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sad, folks, that people don't know anything about church. People who don't know anything about God. People who have just sipped of this new wine and barely had a taste to know how good it is.
Right,
believe it with so much desire.
Hallelujah.
With so much expectation and just know that it's going to happen while those who have lived it, those who were raised in it, those who have been around it all of their lives have lost their ability to expect that if they pray and they practice that God is going to do what he said that he would do.
Yes, he will. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What were you expecting when you prayed? What were you expecting when you practiced? Did not Jesus say, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it shall be opened to you.
Hallelujah.
Prayer is powerful.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
Undergirding of everything that we do. Practicing it every day is so powerful and a witness to the world that we live in, and important for us to prove that we believe what we say we believe.
Hallelujah.
And if we do these things, we can expect God to respond. Let's all stand together today. It's obviously dramatically short for the sake of time, for your sake. The rich man, the Bible says, died and went to Hades, which means the unseen place with the dead guy. And through the parable of Christ, and there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that this is a real situation. Jesus did not pull ace cards out from underneath his sleeve.
Right, amen.
He only spoke of truths. He lifted up his eyes in Hades, and he was tormented in the flames. And he saw of a great distance away. He saw that poor beggar that he passed every day there being comforted. And he saw Abraham, recognized him somehow. And he said, please, Abraham, touch my tongue with just a drop of water.
Right. Hallelujah.
And Abraham said to him, what did you expect?
Right. Amen.
In your life, you had good things, and now you're being punished.
Right.
Was he punished because he had good things? No. He was punished because he didn't practice sharing his good things with other people. And Lazarus had bad things and now he's come. What did you expect? There's all kinds of expectations. There's all kinds of false expectations. There's all kinds of unrealistic expectations. We are driven. Some people call them motives. We are driven by expectations. God himself is driven by expectation. We studied on the fruit of the Spirit. We studied that a couple weeks ago. And Jesus, in the Old Testament, there's a parable about God planting a vineyard. He said, I took a vineyard and I picked out all the rocks. I built a hedge all the way around it to keep the wild animals from coming in and eating the fruit of it. And I took and I went through the cities of Israel and through the countrysides and I picked the best vines. And I planted them in the best location. Gave them the best protection and fertilization. And he said, I had an expectation that it would bring me grapes. But he said it brought forth bitter grapes. How many of you ever had a bitter grape before? No?
Persimmon.
Yeah. Jesus walked by, and I know I made you stand. You're falling asleep doing it. I walked by, Jesus walked by and saw a fig tree, and it didn't have any fruit on it, and he cursed it. And it withered right there. See, he expected that it would have fruit inside. God has expectations. We have expectations. And when those expectations are what they're supposed to be, and when those expectations are met, amen, it is the ultimate experience in our walk with God. If I pray that God would bring souls, and I witness to my friends, tell them about Acts 2:38 and invite them to church, I can expect that they will come. Right. I live the life before them every day and I honor Jesus in every decision that I make, I can expect that people will ask what is different about you. I can expect, amen, a result and a reward for my labors. They that go forth and bear seed will come again rejoicing, bring their harvest with them. We will reap what we sow. I'm not making this to be a negative thing today. I'm just wanting to say this to you, church, to remind you today. Pray it. Practice it. And expect God to reward it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's bow our heads together today. God, I don't know where everybody's at. We live in a world of very low spiritual expectations. We have more expectation of the latest iPhone coming out. We have more expectation of getting a new car. We have more expectation of eating out a meal or buying a new pair of shoes than we do of you. God, I pray that level of expectation this church would return. That we would not walk around here with frowns on our face and somber looks. That we would not walk around here with slumped shoulders and heads pointed to the ground. God, that we would start walking around here with our heads held high, with a smile on our face, and a testimony of faith on our lips. God, I don't know what God's doing, but he's up to something again.
Yes, thank you.
And I can't wait to see what he's going to do.
Hallelujah.
We need to pray, practice, and expect God.